15.
Talk Live, we're launching at Hour 3. You can bring up what you want if you dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Right back into your phone calls, we go to Stephen in Colorado. Stephen, you'd called toward the end of the last hour, and you were telling us about a discussion you were having with, I think it was a friend of yours, about the origins of state power. And
right.
I don't remember which one of you came up with it, but it was a very silly scenario involving, well, what would happen if every car tomorrow morning that would normally have been pulled over by the police, when the police turned on their flashers tomorrow morning, just decided, nah, that's all right, I've got somewhere to be, I'm not going to pull over for this cop.
Right, and we discussed also, at first the guy said, well, you know, what if it was... you know, a bunch of high-speed chases. I said, no. What if it was not high-speed chases, just, you know, like the O.J. Simpson slow-speed Bronco chase, you know, just politely and calmly, you know, using your turn signals and stopping at stop signs and so forth, but just not pulling over. And we just wondered what all of the possible ramifications, and I thought maybe I'd toss that out there to you guys to see what you thought. I mean, somebody would get hurt. I think that whoever...
We're going to run you off the road.
Can you imagine the chatter on the police radios? This guy's not stopping. I got a guy not stopping. over here either. What's going on?
It's very funny to think about.
It's tantamount. It's tantamount to the idea of what if humans could fly tomorrow? Because
it ain't going to happen.
You can make the choice that you may not want to stop for a police officer. However, the likelihood that a bunch of people are going to make that choice, even if you put it on the internet and email a bunch of people saying tomorrow's not stop for the cop day. And, Like there's.
Most people are not going to disobey the police, so it's just not even something worth really talking about. But what was the point of the question?
Well, I think that what it came down to, the whole point of it was that the origin of state power is us. I mean, doesn't that seem reasonable? I mean,
that's both. I mean, the origin of state power is the people's willingness to comply with ludicrous demands.
Well, they would have you believe that state power came from the people, but it really doesn't. I mean, to some extent, you can argue that the people can do something about it, that they can stand up for their rights or whatever, but state power came about from force, you know, strong men over weak men and that kind of thing, exercising their power, and the democratic process of electing our strong man is probably, you know, certainly less brutal than, kings fighting over, using their serfs and vassals to fight over chunks of land, but, the state power really came from strong guys willing to use weapons to hurt people.
But in this day and age, I remember back when I was liberal, I used to say things like, well, we are the government. Mm-hmm. And I mean it in a nice way, but I think now I mean it in a not nice way. I think I mean it disparagingly. State power comes from us. I'm not sure if I'm articulating this
quite correctly. No, I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you. I can't say for sure which entity or which factor is more important in this situation that we have, because if it weren't for the guns on their hips, if it wasn't for their willingness to use their violence and put people in jail cells, if it wasn't for their willingness to be violent towards others, then people wouldn't be as obedient as they are. So the violence is a factor, but also the obedience is a factor as well. So, I mean, if there was mass disobedience, no amount of violence would be able to change that on the state's part. So they have to have obedience in order for their violence to be effective. Otherwise, they're just going to be killing people left and right. And if you're killing the taxpayers, then that's not going to do much to fill your budget up for the next year. So it's both, I think, that are the factors, both obedience and violence.
Right, yeah. I mean, really, this discussion was more like the, as they say, the philosophers and theologians used to discuss the how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. I think that was kind of like how this was, but it was still kind of fun to talk about, and it did lead us to this discussion about the origin of state power. But, you know, there's one thing I was going to, before the break, I said, I think I hear the music, and it reminded me one time I was just listening. I have all of the Harry Brown shows downloaded on my MP3 player.
Harry Brown, the former Libertarian Party presidential candidate from 1996 and 2000. Also, he had his own radio show.
Radio show host.
Yes, very talented man.
Yeah, and I was listening to it the other day, and he had been traveling and was using somebody else's studio, so their music beds was some rock and roll song, and as you probably know, Harry Brown was a big classical music fan.
That's
and
funny.
So So the music faded, and he said, "This is Harry Brown, despite that music that you just heard." And he says, "I believe that was the Tin Can Orchestra recorded in somebody's closet."
That's very cute. Harry will certainly be missed, and I thank you for the call tonight, Stephen.
All right. We'll see y'all later.
Yep, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. So I think obedience is probably the major factor. I would have to say that's the major factor in this state power. I mean, yeah, they're willing to use violence, but as Sam points out from the Obscure Truth Network in his most recent little two-minute film that he put out at obscuretruth.com, as he points out, the ratio of people to cops is like 600 to 1,200 to 1. Well, so clearly, if there was enough disobedience, no amount of violence could solve their problem.
All of us would agree that an organization or organizations that people need violence to protect themselves from violence, and that's why the police are there. Originally, the idea was...
Purportedly.
The idea was is that we'll have this organization, that will hunt down the bad guys, the murderers, the arsonists and the rapists and the robbers, and they'll put them behind bars. However, even before the police came about, they were using the punishments and the trappings of the organization the police now use, jail cells and stocks and things like that, to put people that they committed crimes against the state that have no victim. For instance, if you didn't, sit up straight on Sunday, they'd put you in the stocks for a day or whatever. I mean, you see old pictures of people in the stocks, mm-hmm. and usually in there for some silly reason, and it has nothing to do with the violence. But
let's bring that back for government officials.
The idea that you can, the idea that you're going to overthrow the state by, not stopping for state troopers, pointless.
I don't think he was suggesting that.
I'm not saying he was just having fun with it. But I understand that a lot of people deal with the violence of the state face to face in the form of a police officer. However, that's not the head of the snake.
This is true.
You've got to stick a knife through the head of the snake, not some tentacle. Of course, snakes don't have tentacles.
And you don't mean actually stick a knife through anybody's anything.
Head.
You don't mean anything
it
violent.
Stop it.
You mean stopping the politicians? Would you say that's the head of the snake?
Yes.
Gotcha. 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line to New Jersey. And Alex, you're on Free Talk Live on the Amp Line.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's on your mind?
I was thinking, what if we use our hazard lights to indicate that we're members of the Free State Project as a symbol while we're driving?
That doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't think the
hazard
signals
lights
work then either.
Your turn signals are your hazard lights, so you won't be able to signal turns, meaning you'd be more dangerous on the road and you'd be pulled over instantly.
If you want to signal that to someone, and I don't know why you would want to signal that, I certainly don't want to signal that to anyone.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
You would put a sticker on your car.
Right, what would the point of that be, Alex? Why would you want to do that?
I think it's more visible than a sticker. I think that...
It's visible, but it's meaningless.
When it's done by a larger group of people, for example, if you wanted to protest the detention of an activist in New Hampshire, you could get a bunch of people that are already in New Hampshire to use their hazard lights. And I think that it would be more visible than a bumper sticker.
It's like wearing an armband. If it's a yellow armband, what the hell does that mean? Unless you go up and ask somebody, you won't know what it means. So if somebody was to see you doing this, they would just think that you were having car trouble. I mean, what is the point?
I think that unless we had a Free State Project bumper stickers that lit up, then I'd be interested in that. Is there any way to...
I don't see any point in getting a Free State Project bumper sticker when you're in the state of New Hampshire. I'm just saying, I don't see the point. If one is in New Hampshire, I'll take it out of the second person and put it into, I can't remember what it's called, when you third person or whatever. I don't see why one would put a Free State Project bumper sticker on one's car in New Hampshire. Advertise that you're here to take over the government?
Well, yeah, why?
That'll endear you to a lot of people.
Yeah, you'll find that that's not a relatively popular thing to do as far as incoming free staters. It just... wearing it on their sleeve is not something that most of them do. I'm not sure why you'd want to. If you want to explain it to us, hang on. 800-259-9231. You take control. Bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Whatever you want via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us, including the bulletin board system with over 400,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about there. Head over to bbs.freetalklive.com. Get interactive for free. bbs.freetalklive.com. Alex is on the line in New Jersey talking about flashing his hazard lights to advertise that he's a member of the Free State Project.
It's just an idea. He's just floating it by.
One of the most confusing things.
Yeah, really.
But you're talking about doing it in New Jersey, not in New Hampshire? Or are you talking about in New Hampshire, not New Jersey?
Anywhere.
Well, even in New Jersey, it's even less effective because certainly nobody in New Jersey knows what the Free State Project is. In New Hampshire, it's not really that effective because not that many people really know what the Free State Project is. They might have heard of it, but then they would also have had to have heard of what the flashing lights mean. Most people are just going to think it's that your car is having trouble. But I'd like to ask you why it is you – I mean, there are some Free Staters that take this tact, so it's not completely unheard of. But why it is that you would like to wear it on your sleeve once you get to New Hampshire that you are a Free State Project member?
I think that there's a different sentiment between people who are Free State Project members and people who are not Free State Project members. Certainly many people, in New Hampshire anyway, I think they do enjoy liberty equally, but I think that there's just a different vibe with people who are part of the Free State Project. I can't really explain it in words.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Let me see if I can understand what you're saying here. Toby from Free Minds TV, our friend Toby, who's going to be, by the way, sitting in on a couple of upcoming episodes of Free Talk Live as you take a vacation soon, Mark. But Toby is a New Hampshire native who loves liberty, and he is not a Free State Project member, but he's more active, I would say, than the average Free State Project member as far as things that he's doing for liberty. So would you say there's a different vibe between Toby and the Free State Project members?
I would say that I haven't talked to Toby ever, so I can't really say for sure.
But then the
question is, Mark, how come when you are looking for advertisers on Free Talk Live, you request that they are part of the Free State Project?
I don't request. I give them a discount if they are Free State Project members, and the reason for that is because I can get more people to sign up that way. It brings up the conversation of the Free State, and, you know, obviously I only bring it up with select people, mostly people that call in and want to do advertising and, you know, that kind of thing. It's just an incentive for people to sign up for the Free State Project.
All I'm saying is that between
He's asking a question, and I want to go on with it. Now, I think that maybe, Alex, here, what you have is sort of confusion on names. There's, an organization called the New Hampshire Underground, which is concerned with liberty. There's an organization called the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which is concerned with liberty in more of a political realm. The other is more of a civil disobedience realm. And these two organizations have bumper stickers, and you can get involved with them. And I think that they're building a brand here within the state as organizations that are attempting to protect liberty and advance liberty and that kind of thing. Whereas the Free State Project, if you talk to anybody in the upper echelons of the Free State Project, as though they're authorities, they'll tell you it's just a bus. All it is the intent is to move 20,000 people here. And just the simple fact that Ian and I talk about the Free State Project does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that many or most Free State Project members feel the same way about issues that we do. They absolutely don't. I'm on the boards right now of the Republican Liberty Caucus New Hampshire site, talking with many Free State Project members about immigration and where they stand on it and things like that. And we debate the issues back and forth and have a grand old time if you like that kind of thing. So there's lots of Free State Project members that feel differently about different issues. It's just that they believe one thing, that they want the government limited to simply protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of property or something like that.
And I wouldn't say that there's any difference in a vibe between a Free Stater and a New Hampshire liberty lover. I mean, somebody that loves freedom is going to have a very similar vibe as a incoming Free Stater, so I don't know if I agree with that at all.
That's the reason that I'm suggesting that maybe he has the term confused.
Yeah.
And notice how much softer it is than ridiculing the poor kid for having the terms confused.
Oh.
Anything else on your mind tonight, Alex?
I just want to say thank you for reading Prasad's email. He goes to the same high school as I do, and I turned him on to Free Talk Live. And the fact that you read his email, he's now very happy, and now he might write in again, and he feels like he's being included.
Oh, great. Well, cool. We don't necessarily include all emails, so we might not include his next one. So
calls are the best way to get on, but we try to get emails on. Certainly, we probably get 10 emails that people wish were read on the air for every one that we do. And we certainly, I don't know about you, Ian, but I probably get 100 emails a day, maybe two.
I personally would like to say that I like Dennis Goddard's suggestion as far as what to do as a Free State Project member. Of course, Free State Project, we've mentioned it a bunch, haven't really described it. It's a movement that is dedicated to getting as many liberty-loving activists to move to New Hampshire, get active here for freedom as possible. So it's a brilliant movement. Mark and I are participants. We moved here a couple of years ago. And so what Dennis Goddard from the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, he's also a Free Stater, and what he suggests that you do is that you move to New Hampshire and you get plugged in and get a job and or start working or whatever, and that you meet people and plug into social networks. And, of course, you can hang out with other Free Staters and liberty activists in the state, but to go around and plaster yourself with T-shirts and bumper stickers, it's kind of an in-your-face approach, and I don't right. think it's really necessary. And I think Dennis's approach says, you know, get plugged into the society here and get to know people, and then eventually, once they find out that you're a relatively sane young man, then at some point they might learn through natural conversation that you are, you know, you moved here because of the Free State Project or you wanted to advance liberty or whatever. And then at that point they'll know you a little better, and then they'll come to understand that, well, I might have heard something about Free State Project members, but I've never met one until now. I've met this guy and he seems okay. Maybe they're not as crazy as those people on the radio station are trying to get me to think that they are. I mean, Mark, you had an issue with your next-door neighbor or whatever, the guy that lives nearby.
Yeah, my next-door neighbor was talking about, what about these Free Staters moving here and want everything for free? Now, clearly, this guy is uninformed if he thinks that we want everything for free.
Yeah.
Because, libertarianism and the liberty movement is really a movement about personal responsibility. And people that believe in personal responsibility don't want anything for free. However, I don't want to have to buy your school and your roads for you. I don't want you taking things from me at the threat of force.
But he didn't know you were a Free State.
He didn't. And, you know, obviously I didn't get kicked out of his house at that moment when I'm like, no, I'm a Free State Project member. We don't believe that. Believe me.
And did that change his tune? And
he was like, no, you're not a Free State Project. And I'm like, yeah, I am.
Do you think that by putting all of our names into one database at the Free State Project servers, we might be able to be targeted by the government more?
I just, the government's such an incompetent organization. I simply do not care what it is that they might be doing with their time.
I don't believe they have addresses for people that are here in New Hampshire anyway. I think that when you move to New Hampshire and you update your information with the Free State Project, I don't believe you have to tell them where you're moving. You could just say, I have moved, and be counted in that way. So I don't believe they have.
Many people sign up under, they sign up under Chuck instead of Charles. And come on, do you really think the government can figure that out?
It's pretty paranoid, not very likely. And I know that that's not going to stop you from coming here, right?
No.
Thanks, Alex, for your call tonight. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. So wear Free Talk Live T-shirts or Bureaucrash T-shirts. That makes more sense. And put a Free Talk Live bumper sticker on your car. That'll work, too.
Yep.
By the way, instructions on how you can get a free Free Talk Live bumper sticker are on our website at freetalklive.com. More coming up.
The United States is bankrupt, and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
We all know that the Berkey water systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrates, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 2.5 years, serving thousands of satisfied customers, customers. We offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey filter elements and free KDF shower filter for only $209, plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping and one KDF shower filter, a $49 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now. Not yet available in Iowa.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org. And call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
Drinking a chlorophyll-rich beverage has been found to benefit your entire body. AlkaVision Green Shield Green Drink is a specifically formulated nutritional supplement which provides many nutritional elements that are missing from our modern diet. Green Shield helps neutralize acid in your body and maintains a healthy pH balance. And having the proper pH balance has been known to balance blood sugar levels, something we can all benefit from. Green Shield combines the perfect blend of powerful whole food vegetables, immune-boosting herbs and grasses. Green Shield does not contain algae, mushrooms or fungi, has no preservatives, artificial colors or flavors. The powder mixes easily with water and tastes great. Drinking Green Shield strengthens the immune system and boosts energy, relieves fatigue and stress without the use of stimulants. Order your AlkaVision Green Shield Green Drink now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com today. Or call 269-344-3420. That's 269-344-3420 today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. If you dial toll-free and take control of the airwaves, bring up what you want, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. And the features include the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Just head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. That again, shrine.freetalklive.com. As we go to, let's see, quickly here, actually, there's this New Deal story. I suppose we should get to that.
We've been working on that for a while.
We promised it on Saturday night. Of course, your calls are primary if you make them. But the story is from Politico.com, where Barack Obama has added what they call sweep and meet to his economic agenda on Saturday, pledging the largest new, I love this term, investment in roads and bridges since Dwight D. Eisenhower built the interstate system in the late 1950s, and tying his key initiatives, education, energy, healthcare, back to jobs in a package that has the makings of a smaller and modern version of FDR's New Deal, marriage of job creation with infrastructure upgrades.
It's
the new Deal.
You know, I've got good things and bad things to say about it.
You do?
Yes.
What's good about it?
It's better than welfare. But not much. When the government steps in and allocates money towards things that the market wouldn't necessarily allocate, like tearing up old new roads and putting more newer roads down, bridges that don't need to be repaired, things like that, then what you have is a misallocation of funds and inefficiency, and you know, things that needed money aren't going to get it because, well, we're giving jobs to people. We got to have jobs.
Okay.
Well, and these jobs are going to be probably artificially inflated, have an artificially inflated, a payroll kind of situation. They're gonna pay these bureaucrats too much to do what they're gonna do. There's gonna be four guys standing around leaning on shovels while one guy digs a hole.
Right.
You're gonna have all the stuff that goes into government waste involved.
And why is it better than welfare?
Because they're working.
But if what they're doing is essentially digging a hole and filling it back up, then is it really that much better?
It's better than welfare.
I don't know if I agree with you. I mean, okay. The welfare guys, the money goes into the pockets of the politically connected, right? I mean, if you're talking about government contracts for building things like bridges, the politically connected construction companies are going to get those contracts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pay their employees, and their employees are going to take that money, and they're going to pay rent or buy drugs or whatever the hell it is that the construction guys do love their alcohol and their marijuana. So they're going to take their paychecks, and they're going to buy what they buy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, a welfare recipient will take their welfare check and buy what they buy with it. I guess you're saying that since something comes out of it, even though it wasn't needed by the marketplace, it's like a smidgen of an iota better? Is that what you're saying?
I'm essentially saying, at the very least, you should have a nice new road to drive on. And the bridge, hopefully, will not fall through.
Fall down, yeah.
Hopefully, though, we won't replace an old standing bridge with a new, crappy bridge that falls in and kills people.
Before we get to the details,
and if they do, no one will be punished.
Before we get to the details on what they're promising here, I want to focus in on that one term, investment. And you'll hear this used. Government loves to use this term, and the media, of course, parrots it. An investment is not what government does. An investment is something that you can do. Or a businessman might do, where you take, usually it's money, you take money and you invest it in hopes of getting a return on your investment. That's the point of investing, right? You are taking some sort of a risk, usually, with your investment. There are some safer investments, like a bank account or something like that, where there's like a guaranteed return where it's not really much of a risk, but still, that's considered investing. You're actively taking your money and putting it into something that you are expecting to get some sort of value, some sort of return out of that will be of higher value than the amount of money that you put in. Am I accurate in defining investment that way?
I think that, what you expect to get money out of, at the very least, or something that would grow.
Hopefully, that's what you're hoping for. Not all investments grow. Sometimes you lose your investment, as in the cases of many businesses that have failed and gone out of business. Those investors are S out of luck. So to say that their government is investing in roads and bridges is pretty absurd. We know that the government's not going to turn a profit on the roads and bridges unless, of course, they build tolls, in which case they probably won't turn a profit anyway because most of the money will be wasted.
Well, you have to pay the toll workers $80,000 a year, you know.
Right, right. So I don't even know if bringing tolls into the picture would necessarily change that. But so for the government, building a road or building a bridge is not an investment in any way because it's not creating there's no potential for a return on investment. All that's going to happen to that road is going to get driven on, it's going to break up, it's going to get old, and it's going to have to be repaved at some point. So roads are really more of a liability than anything else. There's really no way that you can, at least in the government's hands, there's no way they can turn a road into a profit-generating entity. With a business investing in a road, then, that could be an investment because they're intending to make a profit down the line. If a business is creating a road and they're putting up billboards along the side of the road and they're doing things to monetize that road, I could see that being considered an investment. But government is not intending to get a return. So, therefore, how can that be even considered an investment? And it's certainly, even if it was an investment for the government, it's certainly no investment for you and I. We're not going to benefit from the return on investment if there was one,
right.
And there's not.
And this term investment has often been relatively recently been twisted. People will often call things like a big screen TV an investment.
No.
And what they're saying is that there's a return on their lifestyle. I'm going to get return in enjoyment or something like that.
Psychic return or something.
And I think that you. I think that in holding to the proper definition of investment, that you're holding the line, as it were, for the language. However,
it's important because
it's become for people sort of normal to say things.
Well,
like
it's
that.
Garbage, and words do mean things. And I understand that the English language can change over time. I understand and I accept that. But this is a cover word, and with government, they have a lot of words that they use that don't really necessarily mean what we typically think it means. This is a cover word for spending. This is spending. It's government spending, not investing. So it sounds better when they say it's an investment, right? Because it sounds like, oh, yeah, they're investing in our future, and they're investing in our roads, and that's good for society.
Well, it's good for you if that's what you want. I mean, if I want the government to pave the road out in front of my house, then it is an investment of sorts in the money that I have put in the government. However, the way the government wastes money, the money that I have put into the government has long been wasted, and we have to go and extract even more money from people in order to pave that piece of ground out there in front of my house. So they're twisting the terminology that has been twisted by, you know, sort of the marketing and sales apparatus of the marketplace.
So this guy, Barack Obama, says, we will repair broken schools, make them energy efficient, and put new computers in our classrooms. So they're going to spend all kinds of money to make the schools energy efficient. I wonder what the balance is on that. How much money are they going to put in to making the schools energy efficient versus what they'll actually get out of that efficiency in cost savings?
In cost savings, right. When they talk about energy efficiency, that's another code word for we're going to do whatever the greenie socialists believe is the right thing to do in this arena. Mm-hmm. We're going to go for this sustainability. I was at sustainability meeting here in downtown, not a meeting really, sort of a fair. I was looking at a solar panel that the guy had. He said it generated a kilowatt a day or something like that.
Okay.
1 kilowatt hour here in New Hampshire. And I'm not sure that a kilowatt and a kilowatt hour are the same thing, and I'm sure some listener will correct me.
I've always wondered about that.
But 1 kilowatt hour in New Hampshire costs 15 cents. So if this thing generates 15 cents of savings a day and it costs $8,000, you've got a long, long way to go to turn that baby into something efficient.
Well, I think if it only generates a kilowatt per day, then that would only be 41 watts. Oh, crap. I don't know. I think it would only be like 41 watts per hour. So 1,000 divided by 24 is 41. Now, I don't know. What is a kilowatt hour? I bet Wikipedia knows. More on the way, you can take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever you want. We'll talk a little bit more about this new deal here in moments and take your calls. Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Hey, GCN listeners. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift this year, listen up. This message is going to make holiday shopping very easy. This year, give the amazing Survival Seed Bank to friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full-acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if necessary. And here's the best part. The price of Survival Seed Bank has been drastically reduced for GCN listeners this Christmas. You might even want to pick one up for yourself. The price goes back up January 1st, and the supply is definitely limited. Think outside the box and into the bank this year. Give a Survival Seed Bank by going to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365 to give the perfect gift.
Drinking Mate proudly presents another mind-boggling episode of America's Toughest Quiz Show. That's Too Complicated. Let's see if we can figure out which contestant got the intellectual edge after an evening of partying by using Drinking Mate.
For 20 points in the win, Milt, Blur 5 and Blank Kinate Receptor subunits in hippocampal neurons co-assemble to form functional receptors.
Pony?
Oh, too bad. Yes, Chip. The logical companion of Glur 5, Glur 6. You've won the game!
Hey, life is like a game, and if you want to win, you've got to give it your best every day, which doesn't always happen after an evening of celebrating with friends and family. That's why there's Drinkin' Mate, a patented formula of guava leaf extract proven to reduce the effects of hangover. It restores balance to your body, keeping headaches and nausea at bay, and it really works. Tell them, Don.
Drinkin' Mate. I wouldn't be able to read this without it.
Available at quality retailers nationwide. Drinkin' Mate urges you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. We're entering a holiday season never before seen in America. We're thankful for the warning given by members of Mr. Obama's campaign team of the coming international incident, which will force unpopular decisions. Without this warning, many of us who still have money available would have unknowingly wasted it on Christmas gifts that will be useless when the only food available is in a government breadline. When the president is faced with the expected national security incident, the in-place Patriot legislation will control transport and distribution of food. Those of us who are able to take care of ourselves must put in supplies of food. This will free up the relief organizations to give food to those unable or not smart enough to prepare. The greatest gift this Christmas is life itself, food for these unknown times. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, eFoodsDirect.com, 800-409-5633.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain. Maybe enough time for your call at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. If you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, help us get on more radio stations across the country, around the world, bring new internet listeners on board, and help introduce new people to the message of freedom and liberty, then you should become an amplifier. You can do by going to amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp, as in advertise, market, and promote, amp. .freetalklive.com, getting signed up for as little as $3 a month. We take that money and reinvest it into promoting the show. And you get perks, too, like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, more. All the details are there at amp.freetalklive.com. Just a few more thoughts on this new deal from Barack Obama. And this is the new deal as it's proposed at the moment. Remember, more can be added, right? This is just a proposal. So by the time it actually gets through Congress, you can expect it'll probably be much more all-encompassing than it currently is. Because right now they're talking about a few specific areas that they're going to focus on, and that is the infrastructure. So they're talking about spending all kinds of money to upgrade public buildings. They're going to redo roads and bridges, upgrading the schools. They talk a lot about making things more energy efficient.
As though the federal government runs any schools, you know what I mean? Like, what's the federal government have to do with schools? And
well, it controls the schools.
Now that you mention roads, now that you mentioned schools and then we're thinking about roads here, are they talking about roads that aren't federal roads? Because I was under the impression that the only roads the federal government controls are the interstate highways.
Yes, they are going to get money.
The U.S., you know, like U.S. 41 and those roads. Talking about state roads and local roads?
Yeah, well, the feds are talking about, he says they're going to be giving money to the state governments, and they have a certain time window in which to use it. Mm. So, yes. And, of course, the feds, they don't run the schools, but they do control the schools, and they do control roadway situations because the feds have the money that they hand to the states, and the states have to obey the federal rules about schools and about roads in order to get their hands on the money in the first place. So even though they don't operate them, they do still have dominion, if you will, over them. So they're talking about spending all this money, and we already know that government cannot calculate things correctly, that government has no incentive to take market signals and calculate them to make correct decisions. So when it comes to the total bill here, Obama's talking about all the money that government spends on paying energy bills. how much is it going to cost to do all these upgrades, and how much are they actually going to save on their energy bill, and how long will it take to recoup that? The government's not going to bother to calculate those things. It's just going to spend money on the upgrades and say, look, we care about energy.
Right.
We're going to spend all this money and all this time and all this stuff on this energy upgrades and isn't even going to do anything.
Absolutely true. And this is, you know, this is the difference between real life and the imaginary world the government lives in. I bought a heater that's one of these sustainable energy heaters. And by that I mean, you can cut down trees and feed it. It's an outdoor wood boiler. And, you know, I've got 11 acres. I'll grow more trees than I could ever burn in this thing in order to keep a house going. And by sustainability, that's what I mean. So I made the decision to spend the thousands of dollars on this this gizmo and how quickly it would pay itself off. Very quickly is really the answer on this one, because I don't have to pay these extraordinarily high heating bills. You know, oil was up and now it's down, and you never know where it's going to be. So,
but
I made those decisions for myself and my family. The government, we can't make a decision that makes sense in that manner.
By the way, we did look up kilowatt hour, and according to Wikipedia, if a heater is rated at 1,000 watts, which would be a kilowatt, and that heater is running for 1 hour continuously, then 1 kilowatt hour has been used. Kilowatt hours, according to Wikipedia, are the product of power in kilowatts multiplied by the time in hours. It's not kilowatts per hour. So it's not kilowatts divided by hours. It's kilowatts times hours. So whatever the device is that uses, it's rated at 1,000 watts, that's rated on how many watts it pulls in an hour. That's my understanding from what I just read.
Yeah, and when I spoke to the gentleman at the, and I don't remember what it was, the Green Fair or whatever that they had here in town, his response to my saying that, well, let's see, at 15 cents, 15 cents a day or whatever it was, a week or a month, I can't remember what the amount that it could produce in what amount of time.
The solar panel,
that it would take a long time to pay for this thing to pay for itself. He's like, oh, well, this is, you don't buy one of these things because it makes sense. You buy it because you believe in solar power.
Yeah.
You want sustainability.
Right.
So, you know, they're not selling financial viability. They're selling the good feeling you get by getting off the grid.
And it ain't
going to
catch on until it's viable.
It's not.
All right. So we continue here briefly. Obama's other thing that he wants to do that's the most scary part. There's one other thing about how he wants to increase broadband. Well, I'm not sure how government's going to do that. Maybe they could get the hell out of the way as far as licensing and that sort of thing.
Well,
cable companies.
Every cell phone tower from here on out that's licensed has to carry broadband for, you know, whatever.
This is a scary one. Electronic medical records. This is what he had to say. In addition to connecting our libraries and schools to the internet, we must also ensure that our hospitals are connected to each other through the internet. Because hospitals don't have internet accounts. That's why the economic recovery plan I'm proposing will help modernize our healthcare system, and that won't just save jobs, it'll save lives. We will make sure that every doctor's office and hospital in this country is using cutting-edge technology and electronic medical records so that we can cut red tape, prevent medical mistakes, and help save billions of dollars each year.
Right, because the government's so good at cutting red tape.
They're going to make sure that every doctor's office is connected to their electronic medical record system. Now, how do you think they're going to have those medical records for you? Maybe on a national ID card?
It's interesting. You know, who knows what they're going to do, but this is just more proof of what Rush Limbaugh says when he says that the Democrats care. You know, they have this whole thing about caring, and it's absolutely true, because that's exactly what this sounds like. Doesn't it sound like you care about sick people?
It sounds to me like he's going to be forcing doctors to jump on board with whatever
the help. It sounds to me like if you're a doctor and you want to provide just doctoring services, you know, for cash to people, that you're out of business. That's what it sounds like to me.
And so we'll keep an eye on this.
It doesn't sound like he cares to me. It sounds like he's a big government socialist.
Yep, as this continues to develop, we'll let you know here, but that's bad news. So, all right, we continue with your calls, where Officer Liberty's on the line in Minnesota. Hello, Officer Liberty. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's on your mind?
Just wanted to ask you guys quick. I know this conversation could go all night, but in 30 seconds or less, what would be your alternative to the current criminal justice system? In your utopian society, what would you guys like to see?
Well, our utopian societies are different, so I'll let my cohort go first.
My alternative to the current criminal justice system would be a true free market in justice where there are basically competing entities. Instead of the government one-size-fits-all monopoly, there would be competing protection services, insurance companies protecting people's assets and families, and also having competing arbitrators competing for business, competing jails as well. So introducing the element of competition in the marketplace to a very important sector, and that is justice. People just aren't getting it today through the government system, and while there are some tweaks that could be used to make the government system better, I don't believe in coercion, and I think that that's the only tool that government has, and so we need to find alternative ways to provide people with the justice they're seeking without actually doing injustice in the first place. That's my answer, Mark.
Mine's short. I'd stop the drug war. I'd require police to have warrants and follow the Fourth Amendment, and I would also do away with the plea bargaining process.
Your thoughts, okay. Officer Liberty?
I would just one response to you, Ian. Would you agree or disagree that the biggest problem is the people who get involved in the criminal justice system as far as the employees? Would you say that's true?
I'd say they are a big problem, but because it's a monopoly system, it's going to be very difficult to eliminate that. I think Mark's suggestions would go a long way to helping solve those problems, but it will never completely eliminate them until we actually have competition in the realm of justice.
Okay. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
I'd like to say the other problem beyond the corruption factor is the violence factor, and that is the sort of the paradox, if you will, the idea that government suggests that it exists to protect us, to keep our freedom safe and that sort of thing, to provide us with these protection services, and this is what government is for. So government is supposed to exist to keep us safe from being victimized. But in order to provide those services, which many people would rather not have them provide, but in order to provide those services, it has to force people to pay for them. So in order to supposedly protect people from being victimized, it actually victimizes every single person in society. Those who don't want to be forced to pay for these things. It's victimizing those people by forcing them to pay for these services that they may not necessarily want. And so it creates victims out of everybody when it's supposedly supposed to stop that from happening. So it causes the problems it intends to prevent. It's quite a paradox. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you.
I'd be interested in hearing what Officer Liberty had to say, anything he could do.
He can call back any old night. I know he's an amplifier. He's a supporter of the show, and I'm sure we'll hear from him again. More on the way tomorrow night. Join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you